talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It is a Getaway Friday, Friday, December 22nd, 2023, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the holiday episode of the Exchange Club, the Christmas episode. Now, a few notes here, a little housekeeping. Of course, we will not be on the air on Monday. It is Christmas Day. Enjoy that with your friends and family. Listen to the repeats if you like. They'll be on all day long. Tune in next hour, Study His Word, 1:15 to 2 p.m. With Pastor Craig. Should be a great show. Coming up tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m., Matt Carrington, Sean, and myself will be on for the last live broadcast before the holiday season. We're going to exchange handmade gifts, homemade gifts, however you want to call them tonight. Nobody knows what anybody is getting. It's anybody's guess tonight. And because of all the hubbub and rhubarb and whatever that's been going on down at City Hall, Mayor Scott Schertzer will be making another appearance on this program before he leaves office on December 28th, 9:15 to 10 a.m. And your guess is as good as mine as to what he's coming on to say. But I'm guessing if you live in the city of Marion or you're on city council or you have any position in city government, you might want to hear that interview 3 days before he goes. Joined in studio for this holiday episode by Pastor Craig and Matt. How you guys doing?
Great. Good. How you doing?
Here we are at the holidays. We had some great Mike Wilson, who I had not seen in about a year. Mary Ellen came in. It's always good to visit with Mary Ellen. Sam Donaldson was on, hour number one this morning. It's been a great morning.
I know it's been over a year since I seen Mike Wilson.
Yeah, it was great to see him come back in today. Here we are, holiday time. We'll have a top 10 list this hour as well.
Yay!
Yeah, and tonight. We'll have one tonight.
That's why I come.
That's why I show up.
That's right.
I barely made it here for this show, though, today. It was one of those rushing in type of things. But here we are, the holiday season. Well, first, what's coming up next hour, Pastor Craig?
It's going to be a good one. I'm going to have, as a guest, the infamous Nate Redman is coming back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we're just going to talk about all kinds of things, you know, kind of a holiday special.
He couldn't get enough after Tuesday night's Christmas party.
He begged me.
They all do. No. They all do.
In all fairness, I had asked Nate to be on my show before the Christmas party.
But was it before I invited him to the Christmas party?
It was actually even before you invited him
really?
To the Christmas party.
Because that was way back.
Because what happened is when I invited him to be on my show, he said to me, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And by the way, Scott invited me to come Tuesday night to the Christmas party, so that's how I found out he was going to be there Tuesday.
Oh, so great. Yeah. That would be great. He'll be on next hour with Pastor Craig, and the topics will be wide-ranging.
We're going to talk about some things the churches are doing and not doing, and we're going to talk about Christmas, and then we're just kind of a potpourri to end the year.
Now, Matt, you and I will be back tonight, last live broadcast before the holiday. How are you feeling on this homemade gift idea, which will be the theme of tonight's show and Christmas?
I got my gifts done. I don't know how well they turned out, but I think that they'll be fine. They're homemade gifts, that's for sure.
It's the thought that counts.
I know what they are.
Your mother assured me yesterday that you would have gifts.
They are
and
done.
And she was going to help you.
Thanks to Mom, by the way. Love Mom. She's great. She helped me out with the gifts.
That's very nice. You should thank Mom on the holiday. Also, if people don't know, we'll probably talk a little bit about this tonight. Matt, now this just goes to show you the closeness of this radio family. Matt and Sean and I are going to spend Christmas Eve morning at 10 a.m. at Carrington's house, watching a movie, eating omelets, drinking hot chocolate. Matt, a year ago, would you have ever thought on Christmas Eve morning that's what you'd be doing 365 days later?
No, I never thought.
You never hoped anything this big could happen.
You know, it wasn't in the plans, that's for sure.
But now that it has happened, you're saying, my goodness, my life has really turned around for the better in 2023.
done a whole 180.
It really has. It just came right around. What a year. Next week we'll talk about the year that's been. We'll kind of recap all of that. But I got the big Christmas Eve party at my house, and that's shaping up to be a pretty big party this year. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. We'll have the chicken sandwiches this year. Last year, the storm blew the chicken sandwiches out, and it turned into a very... people showed it didn't drive the people away. It just... I don't think the people... I didn't think there were going to be any guests this year because I had no food for them last year.
Apparently, they didn't seem to care all that much. They're showing up.
Yeah, they're coming back. They'll give it another shot. Their memory's hazy after 365. The Christmas party the other night, did you have a good time?
We did, yeah. It was good.
I had a great time. And again, it's one of those things where you say, you know, it was fun. More fun than others. It was. I just thought everybody got along. Everybody who was invited came. Nobody said no to coming. It was a great time. First one you've been to.
It is, yeah. I think it went better.
You were laying on the floor, though. I didn't think you had the best seat in the house for the singing.
Oh, I mean, that's fine. I was just sitting there.
And by the way, that was Scott Spears Day.
Yep.
I got to slip that in as much this week as possible. That's what it was. When was the Christmas party? Scott Spears Day.
The 19th.
The 19th. Pastor, Christmas party, your third?
My third? I thought it was the, it was great. It was a lot of fun, and not that the others were bad, but it was the best one I've been to of the three. I thought I was telling Matt that the singing gets better, a little better, every year.
We almost made it through the hippo song.
We almost did, and we had a typo on the lyrics for Noel, which caused us a little problem.
Which I have never noticed in the past.
No, but
I don't know how that happened.
No, I thought the Christmas party was, it was fun, and it was a good Christmas party.
And again, every time we move offices, because we're on the run from the sheriff, we switch offices every few years to stay ahead of the law, they always say, you're not going to fit everybody in. It was fine. And we had 15, 16, 17 people here?
Yeah, well, when we were singing, I counted 12 people, and there were still out in the hall 3 people.
There you go.
So, yeah,
so at least 15.
Yeah.
Also, want to thank Mary Ellen Withrow, who dropped off popcorn balls and homemade fudge. Thank you, Mary Ellen, for... I didn't get you. I did not thank her as she was going out.
Oh,
my God. Well, you've got a fruitcake. I know.
No, I was just
what more can you ask for?
I'm just saying.
I know. Maybe we'll have some fudge tonight on the Friday night show. No, isn't somebody supposed to bring cookies tonight? Leg lamp cookies?
I'll have to ask my grandma and aunt if they made those. I don't make cookies. Not my thing.
Well, we're getting a little... Time's running out here, Matt. We're getting to the 11th hour.
Do you want to text them?
I could text him, yeah.
I think so, because your grandma sent me a picture of the stuff that they had done, so I think we're in good shape.
I think those were for the gift exchange, though. I'll ask. We will find out.
But they're made already, though, right?
If they're not all, if they weren't all eaten.
Well, I thought the gift exchange was Sunday night.
It was the 16th, I think.
So it's already happened.
Yeah, usually it takes place on the 24th, but there was too many people who worked or couldn't show up that day, so we had to move it.
Oh, so your plans on Christmas Eve are kind of light this year.
I think we are still going to my grandma's house to open gifts, because they have gifts for us still, and they also, I think, are going to have dinner.
Oh, very nice. And we thank Pastor Craig and Sarah for the cards that we've added to our Christmas card list. And all the way from California, Meredith Keller and her mug. Why didn't I think of this for a Christmas gift for everybody? My face on a mug. I should have done this. This should have been my homemade gift. If only I would have opened this. Your mug on a mug.
I'm tempted to say something, but I won't.
Don't you, isn't that what you would want, Pastor Craig,
yes,
every morning when you're having your coffee looking at you?
Yes, I definitely would want to have you staring me in the face as I sip my hot tea.
Well, how about this girl? She's looking off and away.
Well, I will say at least that would be better than maybe your mug.
Me? But Matt, you want one of these? It's a boutique item.
I'm going to have to pass.
Is that your type of girl?
She looks okay.
Oh, looks okay.
I mean, I don't know anything about her. I don't know who
she is. Probably smarter than a goldfish.
Her middle name is Joy.
That's always good.
Joy to the world. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, did you get my card?
You know, I have not gotten your card.
Well, I sent that Tuesday, and down in Oak Hill, they got theirs yesterday.
Well, I'll check. We might be back here Sunday morning after the little get together. I'll check. Maybe it's just a day. Maybe it'll come today. I'll check tonight.
Yeah. Okay, because I'll probably listen tonight, and I've been in and out, and I thought, well, maybe I missed it, but I thought, you know, I'll just call and check because, okay.
Yeah, listen tonight.
Okay,
thanks. Bye-bye. Matt, it's your job to remind me to go down and check the mail tonight.
Okay.
That's your responsibility.
All right.
Missed the gift exchange tonight.
Missed the gift exchange?
Missed.
Oh, okay.
And... What are you doing over there?
I dropped my phone.
It's the Christmas show. And bring the cookies.
I asked my aunt if there are cookies I could have.
And what did she say?
She has just yet to respond.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's do the top 10 list so we don't forget it here, because it is, I believe, Christmas-themed. Both of the lists today are Christmas-themed. And I believe one was particularly tailored for the morning show here, and one particularly tailored for the evening show. So let's get the drum roll going here. There it is. For the Christmas episode of The Exchange from the home office in Columbus, Ohio, top 10 things to do to prepare for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. Understand the category?
I do, yes.
What is it?
Top 10 things to do to prepare for Santa Claus?
On Christmas Eve.
On
Christmas Eve. Number 10, if you're a twin, put a note on your stocking that says, the nice one. Good idea. Number 9, if you have a fireplace, make sure that the fire is out.
Absolutely.
Always a good idea. Number 8, watch his worldwide progress on the NORAD tracker website, NORADSanta.org. That's what I'll be doing.
Yep.
All right, number 7. Don't set a trap to try to catch Santa. Bad idea every time. Number 6. Santa has gained some weight, so leave him a stiff belt. Wink, wink.
What?
Let me read this again. Santa has gained some weight, so leave him a stiff belt.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. We all know what a stiff belt is.
Yeah.
There we go. Number 5.
No, this pastor doesn't know what you're talking about.
We could read them again and like the Noel song. Just keep doing it till we get it right. Number 5. Don't expect to receive a BB gun. You'll shoot your eye out. That's true. Number 4. Go to bed early. Always a good. You can never do that, though. You can go to bed, but you won't go to sleep. Two different things. Number 3. Don't get up before 7 a.m. or even 8 a.m.
You know,
I don't think you do any day, so...
8 a.m.'s early, okay? I'm sorry,
that's morning radio. If you're ever filling in for me, what's going to happen? You have to get here at like 4, take a nap on the floor.
I could probably do that.
And then wake up at 9:15 and say, oh, I better get the show started.
She was.
You know, honestly, I could just come here, you know, the night before and sleep here.
Why is that replay of Scott playing? What's that all about? I didn't think he was showing up. Number 2, leave a carrot for the reindeer. Always a good idea. And on this Christmas episode of The Exchange, the number one thing to prepare for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve, put out some hot chocolate and cookies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's how you get rid of, get ready for Santa Claus. Now, tonight's little teaser, and I'm sure it's for tonight, top 10. Now, see, this is not, here's what it is. A Christmas gift for Carrington, a copy of the new history book written by Bud Rosenthorne. What the world was like before Taylor Swift. Top 10 chapters are. So listen for that tonight. Bud Rosenthorne. Did anybody listen to the Friday Night Show last week? I thought she was saying Bud Rosenthorne, not Bud Rosenthorne. Why did we have to do that? Is that what we're going to do on Christmas Eve morning? I got to get my stuff together. You know, Denver omelets and Bud Rosenthorne.
I'd be prepared for that.
Be prepared for that?
Okay, you gotta be prepared for that.
What's gonna be your Bud Rosenthorne on Christmas Eve morning?
You know, I don't know.
Better get ready, it's 48 hours away. don't show up an hour late. We're not gonna take that as an acceptable answer.
Yeah, because you'll miss the first half of the movie.
That's okay.
No, it's not. We're not going in the house till you show up. That film isn't starting. We appreciate the Christmas cards, and if you still want to send one, 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Okay, I'm just going to toss this out there because I've said enough about it. Anyone want to talk about the city? I'm sorry we have to get into this on the Christmas holiday, but nonetheless, here we are. A lot of information has come down this week from Mayor Schertzer, City Council's meeting on Tuesday, Jason Schauber on the program yesterday. A lot of stuff going on in town.
I think the city is in a pretty interesting spot right now.
What do you think the biggest issue in the city is?
I'm going to have to say the fact that we have a cash flow problem. You kind of need money to operate a city.
Can't but we voted pay raises.
I don't think that was a good idea. If I do recall correctly, they had problems making payroll for this month.
This is true.
It could still be vetoed.
I hate to, on something as serious as that, say, what do you think? But the 28th, what do you think? Mayor Schertzer will be here.
I guess I will be surprised if he doesn't veto it. I just think he's...
Because
his feelings are strong enough, and I believe because his feelings are as strong as they are, and his principle will not allow him to just leave office and let it go in.
Here's how I see this as an analyst. Two things can happen on Thursday morning. I believe, number one, he'll veto it. There's that. Number two, he will, I don't want to say chastise, but voice his unhappiness at what they have done and how he would not have done it, but you've made your bed.
I mean, it's already been a problem, this whole thing. And then this last time we got, they want to change the number to this, and they want to change the number to that, and they want to change the number back to this. And this has been going on for months.
And then they did something that was questionably allowed.
That could swing it more to the veto factor than anything, is I believe Mayor Schertzer is a man who does want to follow the lay of the law. And when the law director said you can't do this or shouldn't be doing this, and they did it anyway, I can't see Mayor Schertzer signing his name to that legislation. Now, I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I agree with you.
I think had that not happened, maybe he would have let it go and just said, well, this isn't my idea. I wouldn't have done this, but if this is what you want, go ahead. But that might cause a problem.
Right. You know, 2024 is going to be an interesting year for Marion. Because right now, you know, it's almost like it's in a state of chaos.
We had a councilman sit here yesterday and said, I will not be intimidated. This is where we've gotten. Now, however you want to feel about that.
No, I respect the fact that he said that. And obviously, there's some things going on that even we don't know about.
Well, here's the problem on the whole is that, and he's a Republican, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you get to this point. And I also don't understand. Listen, I understand why people don't want the auditor in that position. I don't live in the city. I don't have a dog in this fight. But I do think that if I lived in the city or anything, I might want to know how that happened, that she left that position in the fact that people don't want to know is astounding to me. And I'm not saying anybody did anything wrong. I am not in the law field. But when Jason Schauber says it's questionable, when Mayor Schertzer says it's questionable, but nobody wants to question it and just says, well, you know, we wanted her out of there. That's unbelievable to me in a way.
Yeah. And there doesn't seem to be a large push by the incoming mayor to make friends with people. And that would be a concern of mine. If I lived in the city, if I had a dog in this fight, that would be a concern of mine.
Well, there's something... I just don't understand it. And you know what? If people aren't going to hold people's feet to the fire, and it's the public that has to do it, right. If you're not going to do it, I guess you get what you deserve.
I mean, this is a little taste of what's really happening national politics and state politics, and it's kind of finding its way down to local politics. There seems to be, and this is on both sides of the aisle. I'm not picking on any one particular party because it's happening all around, and there seems to be somewhat of a I want to do this, so I'm going to do it, and who cares what the law says?
I mean, wouldn't, regardless of how you feel or how you voted, if you lived in the city, wouldn't you want to know if somebody did something questionable?
Yeah.
That's all.
Most definitely.
And maybe there wasn't. And that's what I also don't understand. If you didn't do anything questionable, why not tell us what happened?
And you should. If you didn't do anything questionable, I think you would be more than happy to be open and upfront and willing to talk about it.
You're creating a bigger problem.
Right.
Because we're talking about it all the time.
Right. Right.
And so is everybody else, by the
way. And, you know, that was the biggest problem with the previous auditor, in that he wouldn't talk about what was going on. So, you know, everybody's talking about it, everybody's, you know, saying what they thought happened, and when he wouldn't go public, so it just made it worse.
Why wouldn't you want to say what happened here? Because there is a question.
I think probably you get right down to it, it's pride.
Well, optically, it looks how?
Bad.
Okay. Matt, why do you think nobody wants to say? If you believe you did the right thing, and you did the right thing totally legally, why wouldn't you just go on and say that? Say what happened.
I mean, I would think the best course of action, if you did something that you thought was of no consequence, of no issue, and then there became some big uproar, I think it would make more sense to talk about it, because then you can explain as to why you made the decisions you made.
Because the problem for them, for anybody involved in a situation like that, is the media to a certain extent, because if you don't tell us what happened, you're leaving us to wonder what happened and have this conversation we're having right now.
Right.
And I don't know that that's the best thing you want to have happen.
No. Because what happens is, after time, you know, after a while, when you don't speak about it, then people's, you know, thoughts are about, or other people's comments about what they say happened, kind of becomes the fact. You know, the more people talk about it, the more it becomes fact, and if you don't speak up...
Not even that. I almost feel like the longer it goes without being... the longer it goes without being addressed, the wider and wider the speculation gets.
Right. And you can try to intimidate people all day long. You're not going to intimidate everybody. I mean, you can do what you want. By the way, I do want to say something, because, and I told this story earlier in the year, so you have to be a regular listener to understand this, but I said I ran into a politician's wife in the grocery store, and they got unhappy with me. And I saw the same person yesterday, and perfectly fine. We had a very cordial conversation, exchanged holiday niceties, and it was fine.
Well, that's nice.
So I really appreciate that. Well, I think nice. That we're coming to a point now where, you know, nobody's out to get anybody. That is the silliness of a conversation. Nobody's out to get anybody, but some people's job is to do a job they have been elected to, and other people's job is to report on that job. And sometimes not everything is rosy.
This is true.
So that's that. Well, but I wanted to tell the good story.
I'm glad to hear
like
that.
Just like I told the bad story.
I'm glad to hear that.
So there we go. And all the politician will remain unnamed at this particular point. But it was a nice little conversation. And I said that to the person.
Well,
yeah. So we're on that level. Anything else? We'll move on to more Christmassy topics?
Christmassy topics.
Yeah. Okay, so Mayor Schertzer again, the 28th, 9:15 until 10 a.m. By the way, go over to Morningside Circle if you want to see the Christmas Story House here in Marion.
Did you guys ever figure out where that is?
Apparently off of Brightwood. Go down the boulevard, hit Brightwood, and I think it's down there off Virginia.
Okay.
What else do we want to mention here this morning? We will be closed Monday. I think I said that. And
no trash pickup.
No trash pickup, no. No trash pickup on Monday. I think that's it as far as that news goes. Interestingly enough, Billy Crystal was inducted into the Kennedy Center Honors this year, and he gave an interesting quote. I guess it's his philosophy of life. He said, "Love what you are doing. Be happy doing it. It will never be easy. If you don't give it everything you have, what's the point?" Billy Crystal's words. What do you think?
I like it. Those are good words.
Yeah, I think those are good. Yeah.
I mean, Billy Crystal's got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not always going to be easy. I think just because you love something, it's not always easy. You can still love it, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
And why do people get into something if they're not going to give it all they have? I don't understand that.
I don't understand that. Why would you, if you're not going to give it all you have, what's the point?
Yeah, why are you in that game?
Right.
Seems just like a waste of time.
A little bit.
Especially if it's supposedly something you love, then why wouldn't you give it all?
Well, I think when you don't give it all, again, you can fail. Failure is not a problem. But you don't want to look back on something and say, I wish I would have.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right. I mean, I had early in my adult life, I had two businesses that I started that both failed. But, hey, I would do it all over again, you know? I wouldn't want to be sitting here now and say, man, I wish I would have done that, you know? Well, I did it. And they failed, but I'm still, I'm still glad that I tried it.
You don't have to wonder what would have happened.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, interestingly enough, not to come back to Scott Spears Day here, but
was that 3 days ago?
3 days ago. Okay. Just a mere 3 days ago.
Wow. So it's Scott Spears week, really.
It's still in the air. Okay. Still in the air. But the people who congratulated me on that and said nice things were interesting. People I did not think would. And then the people who didn't. Also were interesting. So, you know, that to me was also kind of fills in with the Billy Crystal quote, because I think sometimes doing what you love and giving it your all puts people off in a way. Because if you become recognized for it, I think some people get a little envious is the term. So I found that fascinating.
It is. If I can expand that a little bit, look at it from a larger standpoint, it's human nature that we want people to like us. I mean, let's face it, everybody wants to be people to like them. But what's interesting is when you reach a situation where you find out that you had friends or you had people that like you and you never would have even imagined it, and then you also find out that you had people that you thought or liked you, and then you find out they don't really like you, or they're not as good a friend as you thought they were.
People get angry over the silliest stuff. They really do. And I don't understand that. Matt, what do you think?
Silly stuff like what?
Well, like, do you really care if somebody else is getting some kind of honor? Does that put you off?
I think if I was friends with that person, I would be happy for them.
Right, but let's say you're not. Let's say you just know them.
I don't think I'd be mad. It just seems like a
some
waste.
People
of,
are.
It just seems like a waste of my time and energy to be upset that they got recognized.
You would think,
but
if you spend less time and energy worrying about other people who got recognized, maybe you would be recognized.
Oh, see, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's why certain people don't come to the Christmas party anymore. We had to take them off the guest list because we knew that there was some trouble there. I don't know. I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday and just does what they want to do. But listen, people got to work on themselves. And listen, me too. We're a constant work in progress. But some people are a little further behind than others. And I don't think they realize it. You know, that was an interesting... Was it you who said that the other night when we were doing the television taping with Carrington? Was that people who are evil don't think they're evil. People who are wrong don't think they're wrong. People who are making the wrong decision don't think they're making the wrong decision, or else they wouldn't be doing it.
Matt said that?
He didn't say it that way. Oh, I dressed okay. It up a little bit, but it was similar to
I was going to be impressed.
I mean, I couldn't tell you if it was me or her. I honestly don't even remember that being said.
Well, maybe I said it. I know I heard it somewhere. It echoed off the wall.
I know we have talked about that before, though. I mean, it's true.
I do think it's true.
I think if people knew that they were evil, they wouldn't be evil because they're evil.
Yeah, they don't think they're evil.
No, they don't think
evil people don't think
they're
evil.
You think Hitler got up every morning and said, I'm evil? No. He thought he was doing the right thing or he wouldn't have been doing it. Now, same thing with people in general. That the conversation came off of you know, Carrington wants to at one point be married and have kids and the whole bit. And the question was, do you tell somebody if you think they're with the wrong person? No, you don't, because it's not going to go over well. You just got to let it fall of its own weight. But she said she would want to know, and I said, but you don't think you think you're doing the wrong thing. That's the problem. It's not like you're sitting there going, yeah, I'm doing the wrong thing. If you thought that, you wouldn't be doing it.
She said, I wouldn't get myself into a situation where I would get divorced in the incoming years. And I said, I don't think anybody gets into a relationship.
Who gets into that thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to be divorced in 2 years.
Everybody gets into it thinking, this is going to last. This is the one. I'm not getting divorced. I mean, everybody.
No, and you know what? Some people get very embarrassed by it. And some people get very angry even when you bring it up. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you did that. Now, you've got to own it. I don't know why it's my fault for talking about it. You know, you can talk about anything I did you want.
You picked the person.
Listen, when you start racking them up like Elizabeth Taylor, you know what? You're going to become a punchline. You just are. I'm sorry.
You have to carry an address book of your exes.
That's exactly right. At some point, you do have to look in your mirror and say, hey, maybe I'm the problem. And I don't know why people can't come to this realization.
You know, really, you know, I think people after their first divorce should really sit long and hard and really do self-analysis.
Some people are lonely. So there are two main reasons I have to believe that people go from marriage and relationship to marriage and relationship. And they have to be lack of money, financial difficulties, and fear of being alone. I think those are the two big drivers. Why else would you do it? Because you're not, your choosing skills are clearly flawed. And your decision-making skills are clearly flawed. Why do you keep marrying these people?
Well, I don't think that they think it's going to, like...
No. Said, but after three, yes, you cannot be that dense.
I mean...
Your head's got to be hollow.
Didn't you say you know somebody who's been married like 5 times?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little more than... That's a few...
I wouldn't have her make choices. My choices.
But she's still making her own choices, and it seems to me at this point that
keeps racking them up.
She meets somebody, and she's like, this is the one.
Right, but how ridiculous does that sound?
Well, you see, it sounds more and more ridiculous every time she says it, but what if one of these times she says it and it's true?
That's probably what the hope is.
But I don't think it can be true if you say it. Once you say it 4 or 5 times, it can't be true because you've said it already.
Well, I mean, like, this is the one. I'm not getting divorced after this. You could divorce 17 people.
Lack of boredom is what
now
has happened. You know, lack of wanting to try anymore is what you're really talking. Some people say, I will not be divorced again. You hear that a lot. That's not a good reason to stay married.
I don't know. I think it's more, I've heard the opposite. I've heard nobody say that, but I've heard a lot of people say, I'm not going to get married again.
Oh, they do.
Then they do.
You know, a lot of times after a death, when a spouse dies, they say, I'll never be married again, and they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't judge anybody for that. I mean, that's your thing. But if you're ending these relationships, there's something wrong with you. Look at your life.
Definitely.
And I have friends who have been through this, and you know what? I'm not trying to be critical of them, but I think at some point you've got to look at your life and say, listen, I'm looking pretty ridiculous.
I think that not everybody's built for marriage.
No, they're not. But I would think after many attempts and fails, you know, even the Wright brothers at some point had to say, whoa.
I mean, they made the plane.
Yeah,
they did. They flew.
How many crashes did they have?
I mean, a lot, but you know, they could have just gave up and then they would have never made the plane.
Wow.
Okay. Is that the theory?
Yeah, I think that is the theory.
Crash that plane as many times as you can, as long as you eventually get it up.
I think it's as many times as you need.
As long as you're alive.
As long as you're alive.
Try again.
Hey, flap your arms, eventually you'll get off the ground. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, what about the ones that are married and divorced to the same people a couple times or one time?
Oh, I know. I know at least
Elizabeth
two or three of those.
Huh? Wasn't she married to the same
Elizabeth Taylor?
Richard Burton?
Oh, I believe so. I believe so, yes. Well, that, you really have to be something.
Especially if it was a bad marriage and he beat you or mistreated you or something, and then here you go marrying him again.
Yeah, you would wonder about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. I don't know. I don't know. I just, you know, I hope that people just think about it a little more before they do these things. Pump the brakes.
It's not like changing your socks.
But for some people it is.
Yeah.
And as Matt says, crash that plane as many times as you need to, as long as you eventually get off the air. Get off the ground. Thanks. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Why would you say such a thing?
I mean, isn't there a whole quote that goes like, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again, there's that thing?
I don't think it was applying to marriage.
No, I think, you know...
I mean, also, like...
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome.
Right. You see, but it's only the same thing if it's the same person. If it's a different person, it's a different thing.
No, I don't think it is.
I mean, the Wright brothers, like, you're literally talking about the Wright brothers, whose whole thing was they wanted to make the first flying machine. And they did. And they failed a lot. Took them years. But they did it.
So that's what you want to do?
I mean, that's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, but we look at that as one of their problems, that they failed and failed and failed and failed. There are things that you can keep trying and not succeeding at. Marriage should not be one of those things.
Right.
The American Revolution. We were getting stomped on that for a minute.
American Revolution.
All I'm saying is like we weren't succeeding for a while on that one, and then all of a sudden some French dude came in and taught the military how to be a military.
I don't even know.
Some French dude.
So famous and helpful, he need not be memorized.
Oh, I got you. I'll find his name for you.
Well, it's not George Washington.
Nope.
It's not Thomas Jefferson.
George Washington. Inspector.
We have a lull in the show here.
Inspector Clouseau?
Well, I don't...
Marquise de Lafayette.
Yeah. Without, and we don't even know him.
No, I'm like, I knew what he did.
Yeah, but where's his statue?
I mean, there's Lafayette Square.
Did he ever have a day?
I assume he probably does have a day.
He has no day.
Lafayette Day.
I mean, like, he showed up and then he trained the troops how to be soldiers. And then we stopped getting absolutely stomped on by Britain.
How did we get on this subject? I was talking about Billy Crystal.
We're talking about marriage.
So you...
How did we get to marriage?
We went from Billy Crystal to marriage to the Wright brothers to some French dude.
Ah. And that's this program. That's how you do it.
That's exactly the way it goes. Right.
If do you need any more proof than that this is not scripted?
Holy mackerel. That is,
you couldn't think of this.
No, you really couldn't. You know, on the whole, I hope that people this Christmas realize their mistakes. That's a good thing to do. Reflect. Because you get a few days off work. Reflect on your errors in life and see what you've done. And also realize the people that you've alienated. You know, because in life we do alienate people from time to time. And you should try to work on that.
Agreed.
Yeah. That's how you should spend your holiday.
Are there not people you alienated for a good reason?
Well, maybe you did. You don't have to go back around for them. But I think you should... Why did that happen? Why did I alienate that person?
I think whether it was a good reason or a bad reason, you should at least reflect on it.
Or spend your time deleting pictures of them out of your life.
Oh, no.
That's what you do. You get them out of your life.
That's a waste.
We don't want them around. How's this holiday season been on the whole?
It's been good.
It's been busy.
It has been busy.
And it's going to be busy for a few days.
And we're almost there. We're almost to the big day.
You know, Christmas is flying in this year. I wasn't ready for it.
I will have to say, though, it does not feel like Christmas.
No.
No, and I don't know what that is. You hear that a lot. Last year didn't feel like Christmas because the storm kind of knocked everything for a loop. Maybe we just are in a new society. Like Sarah said, the bus wasn't even busy this morning.
I mean, I think if we'd had a couple inches of snow anytime this month, and you know, a few days where it didn't get up above freezing, I think it would have felt a lot more like Christmas.
Yeah, we're gonna have 50 degrees and
right. I mean, that's like Thanksgiving, you know, 50 degrees.
Yeah, and I don't really know on the whole why this is happening. I would have to believe that, that cell phones and internet and Amazon are playing into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because everything used to shut down on Christmas Eve, and it doesn't anymore. Yeah. You can still pick up your phone and do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
You've never lived in a world where that didn't happen.
Yep.
See, and this is not meant as a negative, but, you know, part of a whole generation that has no idea what it was like 40 years ago or 50 years ago. But from, you know, my perspective, I mean, so many things are different. I mean, just so many things are different. And it has an effect on, you know, the holiday, the celebrations. And, I mean, you know, you went out Christmas shopping. Yeah, you didn't have Black Friday, but you also, you couldn't order anything on the internet because there was no internet.
No. No.
And, yeah, you could get some mail order catalogs, and you could order, you know, through the mail some things. But you just had a whole different perspective on Christmas shopping.
You know, speaking of Christmas shopping, I was wrapping gifts last night, which I don't enjoy doing. And I was doing it last night, and, it came to me that there are people. It's strange to me that there are people who come and go in and out of your life, and you don't have to buy them gifts anymore. And I was thinking about that. That's what I thought about while I was wrapping gifts last night. That there are people who you buy gifts for in the past that you don't have to buy gifts for anymore.
You don't have to buy for him anymore.
I don't think this is a good deal going on here. A lot simpler this year.
I think we should talk about how
I didn't mean for that to come out that way, but it came out that way anyway.
No, what a Christmas show!
Boy,
3 more years and I won't have to buy for anybody.
Wow. If I can really tick enough people off this year, I won't have to shop at all.
The January is like breakup month.
Oh yes, that is interesting. January's breakup month.
This is news to me.
Yeah, I did not realize this till the other night.
I think it makes perfect sense.
People will not break up with you during Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's, but once all that's done, then they can leave with a clear conscience.
Yeah, not very many people get broken up with starting like October, because then you got the couples Halloween costumes, and then you got the Christmas,
well,
and then the New Year.
Who's the front and who's the rear?
And then all of a sudden it's just January comes around, and you're like, look, I got like 6 months before I gotta do anything for this person again, so then you ditch them.
I would have thought that it would have been Thanksgiving, or it'd been November would have been the breakup month, because then you're thinking, now I don't have to spend the holidays with...
But then you got to explain.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows you've been together.
And that made me think, and then I realized that my first wife, she told me early or late in the fall that... After the holidays, she was filing for divorce.
Oh,
so
see, there
so,
you go.
So yeah, I experienced
that. Did you get her a good gift that year?
No, not because I knew.
Yeah.
The part that was kind of weird was that she, you know, told me when she did, because then we had 4 months where, you know, I was like, well, anyway.
She told you when?
She told me it was in September.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you stayed married during the holidays.
Yeah, but
you didn't celebrate.
No, we didn't celebrate. I mean, we didn't even talk to each other.
Well, that would do it.
Yeah. So, it was interesting.
It seems that way. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know. If you got divorced right then and there, people are going to be like, where's Craig at, you know?
I didn't go to her family's house at Christmas time, so...
Oh, isn't that the best, though, when you don't want to go around the family, and all of a sudden you're out of it? It's like being paroled. It's like getting parole. I don't have to do that anymore. Thank God.
But the problem was, I got along with everybody in her family. And we got together on a regular basis. So then she had to explain, and actually she had to explain at Thanksgiving why I wasn't around.
And that's not a pleasant conversation to have.
No.
That's why people wait until...
And that's why you just wait until January.
I told you. But no, and listen, I'm not saying every family I've ever went to, so, you know, don't take that personally if anybody's listening who there was a family involved. But no, there have been some where... You know, I'll tell you a little Christmas story. I went to a Christmas, and I had been in a relationship with this person for several years, and Christmas had always been fine. And then the last Christmas I went to with them, I went over to the family's house, which I never particularly enjoyed. And the grandmother was passing out gifts, and I did not get one. And, you know, I said, this is a sign. And I about walked out of that. I thought, not because I wanted a gift. I could have cared less about the gift. But I thought, you just did that in front of everybody, and nobody, I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And that's what you do at Christmas. That'll tell you the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I knew things were heading in a bad direction.
But
that's pretty.
That pretty much made it known.
That's pretty. When you start getting somebody bad gifts just because you know the end is near, there's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just not get a mini gift.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Well, you don't do that. No. I didn't get any gift. It was in a room full of people where other people's significant others who were not married. You know what it was? It's because I would not get. You had to be engaged in that family or something. And frankly, I didn't need that type of baggage. Wasn't worth the gift.
That's agreeable. Just go buy your own.
You think people think they're better than they are?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Whoa, didn't have to wait for that answer. Well, what are you doing for Christmas? Matt, what are you doing? I know you're going to Carrington's in your little footy pajamas, and you're going to have hot chocolate and Denver omelets and watch a Christmas
story. Watch a movie.
Oh, my goodness. Do you have little rabbit things on your head?
So...
we'll have to take pictures.
The morning of the 24th, me, Scott, and Sean will be at Carrington's house, and apparently there's
drop by if you like.
Apparently there's a whole thing going on there. So we're gonna be watching a Christmas story, and we're gonna be I guess eating whatever Carrington's mom prepared.
Denver omelets.
And I'm sure they sound tasty. And then the 24th, after that, I have to go to my grandma's house because I think we're opening gifts and having a dinner there.
Family's important.
And then depending on what time is that's over, supposedly I might go over to Scott's.
Supposedly? What does that mean?
I don't know how late it's going to be.
Listen, our thing goes all night.
So my thing probably does.
So he's committed to Carrington's family.
Yeah, I see that.
But you're a supposedly.
I'm a supposedly.
Well, you know, make yours at 10 in the morning, and I'll skip Carrington's show.
Listen, you can do what you want. I'm just, I laid an invite on you. That's all I'm saying. You're going to miss the fun. It's a big, I don't want to say the names, but it's a decent-sized group this year.
It's been pretty decent sized every time I've gone.
Right, it'll be a lot of merriment. You've never been there at Christmas. My house is all decked out. I got a train on the table going around and Christmas trees. I mean, it's a thing.
My grandma's got a train.
I'm not trying to go to bat with your grandma here over where to go.
She's got a train that goes around her tree.
I got an actual train that comes into the house and just goes around. It's Christmas. Pastor Craig, what are you doing for the holiday?
Well, of course, Sunday night I'll be at your place.
Yes.
And then on Christmas Day I'll be down with my four grandchildren watching them experience Christmas. And then later in the week I've got to spend a week at my son's house taking care of their animals while they go to Gatlinburg.
Oh, well, very nice.
Yeah.
So a beautiful holiday.
Yeah.
And next week we have a lot of fun because the week between Christmas and New Year's is an interesting week because you recount the year and also the Christmas decorations are still up and you kind of look back. It's really the first time you can take a breath because the Christmas season is so busy. But after Christmas Day, you have that week where people are still kind of off work, really not doing their thing. All the Christmas decorations are still up, and you're reflecting on the year that was 2023. And boy, do we have a year to reflect back on, not only nationally, locally, but here at this station. We had a big year.
It was a bang-up year.
And I hear Matt's doing a mashup video to the Rent song for our year in review, right?
I haven't started it yet, but yes, that is.
Well, that's what I should have said was maybe.
Oh no! It'll happen.
Well, all of us here at the Exchange do want to wish you the merriest of Christmas seasons.
Yes.
And don't forget, Matt, and you can never leave without a plug, Matt Carrington and Sean and I will all be on tonight from 8:15 to 10 p.m. Nobody knows what anybody got. We're going to be exchanging our homemade gifts. Pastor Craig is on with Nate. Next hour, that's going to be great. Study His Word live on this station. I'm sure that'll be a great conversation. And we just want to say, we thank you so much for listening year in and year out. It's almost been 10 years now, and we certainly appreciate that. So we hope you and your family have the most wonderful, wonderful, happy holiday season. And, you know, the interesting thing is you go with us during our jokes and our fun times and our good times and bad times, which everybody has. But this time of year, it takes a lot of people to make a station work, and I always reflect back on that. But the most important people are the people who listen, because if they weren't there, we wouldn't be either. Yeah. So Merry Christmas to you and your family, and Matt and I will be back tonight. Pastor will be back in about 15 minutes. Merry Christmas. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Those where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold